6:40. Greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Jonah Haskell in Washington, filling in for Sunny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
We begin today in the Midwestern U.S. city of Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where the 2015 PGA Championship's first round took place on Thursday. American Dustin Johnson is the leader after day one, having posted a score of 66, good enough for 6-under and sole possession of first place. Johnson has now been at the top of the leaderboard following the first round of all four majors this year. In the previous three, Johnson was unable to hang on to his lead, but he spoke about how his good play on Thursday has raised his confidence.
You know, I knew it was going to be fairly tough out there today. Got off to a great start, birdie in the first two holes, and then, you know, just hit it really solid all day. Drove it well, hit my irons really well, and then, rolled the putter pretty nicely too. So, you know, it was just all around, it was just a really solid day.
Finishing one stroke behind Johnson at 5-under was David Lingmerth of Sweden. Lingmerth has never won at a major before, but did earn his first PGA Tour victory at the Memorial Tournament in June, where he defeated Justin Rose in a playoff. After his stellar round on Thursday, David said that his win at the Memorial was important to his recent success.
That win at Memorial kind of, you know, got me the confidence, I guess, and got me kick-started, and I put myself in the position to have some good chances to win some more tournaments after that, and it's really good practice for tournaments like these. So, I'm hoping I can keep it up and be there on Sunday.
Lingmerth was part of one of the early groups to tee off on Friday morning, and through just three holes he had shot 2-under, but now he's fallen back and sits still at 4-under. Behind Lingmerth, eight players are tied for third at 4-under, including Australian Jason Day and American Matt Kuchar, while Thomas Bjorn of Denmark, who led for much of yesterday, and Briton Justin Rose are at 2-under. Also at 2-under currently is the only Zimbabwean on the PGA Tour, Brendan De Jong. He finished at even on Thursday, but is off to a hot start with his early tee time on Friday. George Coty is another player taking advantage of an early start on Friday to move up the leaderboard to 2-under. World number 2 Jordan Spieth finished on Thursday with a strong 71 to put him at 1-under and within striking distance of the lead. Spieth also got an early start and is currently at 4-under after a very strong start to the second round. The top player in the world, Rory McIlroy, returned yesterday for his first round of competitive golf since injuring his ankle in July and missing the British Open. He played well considering the strong winds, keeping pace with his groupmate Spieth to finish the first round at 1-under. On Thursday evening, McIlroy said that he had some nerves on the first tee, but was overall happy with how he played.
It was a solid round of golf. Happy with the way I struck the ball. I must say I was pretty nervous on the first tee. You know, just getting back there, it was nice to get that opening tee shot out of the way, and wasn't the best of starts, but to hit those two shots on the second hole and make birdie, that sort of settled me down and I could get into the round. But I think anything under par this afternoon was a decent score. I was, you know, I set myself a target going into the back nine. I knew there'd be a few chances, so I thought trying to shoot something under 70 was realistic. I sort of had a chance to do that after birdie in the 16th. You know, missed a good chance there on 17, and unfortunate bogey the last, I guess. Just hit a 3-iron and held it up a little bit too much into the wind and leaked it right. But as I said, anything under par today is a good, you know, this afternoon anyway, is a good score.
Other golfers did not fare as well as McIlroy. Tiger Woods began the day decently, hovering around even for a while, but couldn't finish strong as he shot a 75 to finish way back at 3-over. South Africans Louis Oosthuizen and Brandon Grace are even and 1-under respectively, while Ricky Fowler and Vijay Singh are both 1-over. Phil Mickelson, who won the PGA Championship in 2005, did not have a great day, finishing at 2-over. The second round continues throughout Friday, and the final two rounds will be played this weekend, with a winner being named on Sunday.
fighters. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on The Voice of America.
The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma joins us now with sports news from all over the continent. And I believe he's beginning today with handball.
Tunisia prevailed over Argentina 35-29 to register their first victory in four matches at the Men's Youth Handball World Championships in Yekaterinburg, Russia on Thursday. Today, Friday, Tunisia play Japan and Egypt face Germany in matches the Africans need to win to advance to the knockout stage of the contest. Algeria, who have lost all their matches and therefore have no prospects of progressing beyond the preliminary round, play Croatia in their final group fixture. Turning to netball, Jamaica dismissed Uganda 59-47 at the Netball World Cup in Sydney, Australia on Thursday. Today, Friday, Malawi encounter Jamaica, Zambia play Singapore, South Africa face England, and Uganda challenge world champions New Zealand. Meanwhile, the week-long Brookside Federation of East Africa Secondary School Sports Association Games starts in Huye, some 130 kilometers south of the Rwanda capital Kigali, tomorrow Saturday. Over 600 boys and girls from Burundi, Kenya, South Sudan, Tanzania, defending champions Uganda, and hosts Rwanda are vying for glory in athletics, badminton, basketball, football, handball, hockey, lawn tennis, netball, rugby, swimming, table tennis, and volleyball. In football, hosts Tunisia play Morocco in an Orange African Nations Championship qualifier in Tunis today, Friday. Elsewhere, Morocco welcome Ghana in a beach football friendly in El Jadida tomorrow, Saturday. On Sunday, Morocco play Hungary at the same venue. Finally, in boxing, the Africa Confederation Boxing Championship starts in Casablanca, Morocco on Sunday. It's a qualifier for the AIBA World Championships in Doha, Qatar in October, where boxers are vying to qualify for the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics.
Now on to the Long Beach State in California, where the 15th annual U.S. Sumo Open was held last weekend. There has been a massive power shift in the world of sumo wrestling, as Mongolian legend Bayambazar Ulambayar was defeated in the heavyweight final by Egyptian Rami Elgasar. Ulambayar had been the king of the sumo world for a long time, having won 8 consecutive gold medals in the heavyweight category. Overall, Ulambayar had won 14 golds in the last 8 years, including every heavyweight crown and 6 openweight championships, as well as being named World Sumo Champion 4 times. He was unable to continue his unprecedented streak of winning against Egypt's Elgasar, who was quick to get under Ulambayar and force him out of the ring to win his first U.S. Sumo Open gold. Ulambayar was also defeated in the openweight division by American Roy Sims, who took the gold in that competition. Egypt got another gold medal when Rami Belal won his 2nd career gold in the middleweight division, and Mongolian Nayambayar Lakana defeated his countryman Zanabazar Bayarsaykhan to take the gold in the lightweight division. With Ulambayar defeated, there is now a power vacuum at the top of the sumo wrestling world. Elgasar seems fit to fill the hole, but it remains to be seen if that will happen. And we are now joined by our Nightline Africa sportsman, Segun Adeyemi, who is in Lagos, Nigeria, and has a report on African sports from last weekend.
With 2 matches to go, Algerian club USM Alger has become the first team to qualify for the semifinals of the 2015 CAF Champions League. In a Group B match day 4 played on Friday, USM defeated fellow Algerian club MC Yulma 1-0 to win the maximum 3 points at stake. The long goal was scored by a header from defender Mohamed Mefta. Friday's victory was the 4th straight win for USM, which now has the maximum 12 points from 4 matches atop its group. With 2 matches remaining, USM, known as the Reds and Blacks, is 8 points ahead of title holder AS Setif, also of Algeria, and Al Merrikh of Sudan. Debutant MC Yulma remains at the bottom without a point after 4 matches. Turning to Group A, TP Mazembe won for the first time at home at the group stage after a long goal victory over Smuha of Egypt on Saturday in Lubumbashi, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ivorian Roger Asali was the hero, scoring a spectacular goal in the second half to send TP Mazembe top of the group on 8 points, three more than Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco and Sudanese side Al Hilal. Debutant Smuha, which suffered its third consecutive loss at the group stage, stays at the bottom with 3 points. Staying with African club football, the fourth round of matches in the group stage of the CAF Confederation Cup are also being played this weekend in the two groups A and B. In Group A, Tunisian club Etoile du Sahel is back at the top after a long goal victory over defending champion Al Ahly of Egypt on Saturday in Suez. Striker Youssef Moibi scored the only goal, converting a first-half penalty to ensure the Tunisians avenge a similar loss in the reverse game a fortnight ago in Egypt. The third win at the group stage takes Etoile's tally to 9, two more than Al Ahly, which achieved the historic feat of becoming the first Egyptian side to lay its hands on the second-tier Continental Club Championship and is poised to defend the crown. In Group B, CS Sfaxien of Tunisia was eliminated following his 2-0 loss to South African club Orlando Pirates at the Orlando Stadium in Johannesburg on Saturday. The Pirates scored one goal in each half to make up their winning tally. Group leader Zamalek has a chance to go 3 points clear of Pirates on a maximum of 12 points if it defeats AC Leopards in Congo later today, Sunday. Now, to the final draw for the 2015 FIFA Under-17 World Cup to be hosted by Chile. The four teams that will represent Africa at the tournament, Guinea, Mali, Nigeria, and South Africa, are all in tough first-round groups. At the final draw on Thursday in Santiago de Chile, Guinea was drawn with England, Brazil, and South Korea in what could be the toughest group for any of the African teams. For its part, the most successful team at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup, four-time winner Nigeria, is in Group A with hosts Chile, Croatia, and the United States. Mali has Belgium, Honduras, and Ecuador to contend with in Group D, while South Africa will face Costa Rica, North Korea, and Russia in Group E. But without doubt, the overall group of death is Group C, which contains European and South American powerhouses Germany and Argentina, as well as Australia and Mexico. Turning to athletics, it's just about 2 weeks to go to the IAAF World Championships, tagged Beijing 2015. The championships will take place between August 22nd and 30th. Many of the IAAF's 240 member federations have already named their teams for the most important sporting event on this year's calendar. Midnight on Monday is the final entry deadline. That means this weekend offers the last chance for athletes to qualify and for member federations to name their teams. Finally, boxing. Manny Pacquiao says he wants a rematch with Floyd Mayweather Jr. in 2016 after losing by unanimous decision in their first meeting, which failed to live up to the massive hype back in May. Pacquiao is still not happy with how the fight played out. He believes he deserved victory with his more aggressive style. He says Mayweather was running away all the time. The undefeated Mayweather had earlier said he was open to a rematch. After the dust settled on their fight, however, he changed his mind, calling Pac-Man a sore loser and a coward.
Thank you, Shagun. And now I'd like to take a minute to thank Sule, my Voice of America engineer. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it! Scott. On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game on. This is for the world. Just go.
We move now to Montreal, where the Rogers Cup, or the Canadian Open, is underway, having finished the third round on Thursday. There were not any upsets this time around, as all seeded players still in the tournament advanced. World number one Novak Djokovic made short work of American Jack Sock, who won only three games en route to a straight sets victory for the Joker. Novak has been nursing a slight elbow injury throughout the tournament, but he says that it has not affected his play, and that some pain is just part of the job.
Got to learn to play through the pain and to bear the pain and go, you know, just accept the fact that as a professional athlete you deal with these things, and hopefully every day is going to get better.
Djokovic now moves on to the quarterfinal, where he will face Ernests Gulbis of Latvia, who is unseeded. Gulbis took on another unseeded opponent on Thursday, knocking American Donald Young out with a 6-4, 6-4 win. World number two Andy Murray advanced after defeating Gilles Muller 6-3, 6-2, and he will be facing last year's winner Joe Wilfried Tsonga in the quarters. Tsonga won a tight match against Bernard Tomic to advance, needing a tiebreaker to win the first set and taking the second set 6-3. A marquee matchup in the quarterfinals between Rafael Nadal and Kei Nishikori is set after both won their round three matches. Nadal, the 7 seed, took out Mikhail Yuzny in the straight sets, 6-3, 6-3, while Nishikori, seeded 4th, beat 13th seed David Goffin, 6-4, 6-4. After his win, Nishikori said that he is excited to face Nadal.
Yeah, it's going to be another big challenge for me, you know, to beat Rafa. You know, I had never beat him before, and I haven't played him long time, so it's going to be very excited, and hope I can play good tennis again tomorrow.
The 16th seed, John Isner, also advanced to the quarterfinals after defeating Nick Kyrgios 7-5, 6-3. Kyrgios was fined and apologized for derogatory comments that he made yesterday during his match with Stan Wawrinka after he had initially refused. Some analysts were calling for a suspension to be handed down, but the ATP decided on just a fine. Isner will be playing against Jeremy Chardy in the quarters. The Frenchman advanced after defeating Ivo Karlovic in the closest match of the day, 4-6, 7-6, 6-4. In Toronto, where the women's tournament is taking place, the seemingly invincible Serena Williams won again, this time making short work of 16 seed Andrea Petkovic, who went down without much of a fight, 6-3, 6-3. Williams' opponent in the quarterfinals will be the unranked Roberta Vinci of Italy, who defeated Daria Gavrilova of Russia 6-4, 6-3. In another battle of unranked players, Belinda Bencic defeated Sabine Lisicki in a match that featured multiple large swings of momentum. The final score was 6-1, 1-6, 7-6. Number 2 seed Simona Halep continued her good play, dispatching 13 seed Angelique Kerber 6-3, 5-7, 6-4, and advancing to the quarterfinals to face another high seed, number 6 Agnieszka Radwanska. Radwanska needed 3 sets to win her match against Elise Cornet, but eventually triumphed 6-2, 4-6, 6-4 to move on. 5th seed Anna Ivanovic breezed through her match with Polona Herkog, 6-2, 6-3, and Lesya Surenko defeated Karina Witthoft, 6-3, 6-4. Surenko will now face Sarah Errani, who beat Victoria Azarenka in the quarters. The quarterfinals will take place later on Friday, with the semis taking place on Saturday, and the final will be played on Sunday.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
Down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Bill. And I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata. Still sipping my top. Sitting courtside. Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
I encourage our VOA listeners with internet access to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Later on Friday will be the first leg of the Supercopa de España, or the Spanish Super Cup. The competition is held yearly between the winner of La Liga, the Spanish Domestic League, and the Copa del Rey, the Spanish Domestic Cup competition. Last year, Lionel Messi and FC Barcelona won both of those competitions en route to becoming just the second team ever to win the European treble. Because of this, Barcelona will be contested in the Supercopa by the runners-up from last year's Copa del Rey, Athletic Bilbao. Barcelona defeated Athletic in the Copa del Rey final by a score of 3-1 in May, meaning Bilbao will be looking for revenge, and there's no better place for that than the Supercopa. The first leg will be played later today, Friday, at the San Mamés Stadium in Bilbao, and will be followed 3 days later by the second leg at Camp Nou in Barcelona. Barca are making their 25th appearance in the competition and will be vying for their 17th crown, while Bilbao have appeared 5 times, winning twice. These teams have met in the Supercopa 3 times before, with Barcelona winning all 3 meetings, and that will once again be the expected result. The Catalans will be looking to win their 2nd trophy of the 2015-2016 season, having already captured the UEFA Super Cup with a 5-4 win against Sevilla FC in Tbilisi, Georgia earlier this week. Both of these teams will begin the La Liga season next weekend, and in an interesting twist, their opening game will be against each other. Barca are the favorites to win the La Liga crown as well, but Athletic and other Spanish teams, especially Cristiano Ronaldo's Real Madrid, will do their best to spoil the party. And that does it for today's special extended edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Today is my last day with VOA, so before I go, I'd like to say thank you to Sonny Young and everyone at the English to Africa division of VOA for giving me this opportunity and helping me out along the way. And also, I'd like to thank everyone who tuned in. Thanks so much for listening. Sonny Young will be back on Monday. Until then, have a sporty weekend, Africa.